Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Dorelia,
and
Overstreet. Hey, let me finish. Back off, pal.
Sorry.
Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
Are you done yet?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And as always, to my left, we have young Shecky Feldstein, producer extraordinaire, and occasionally sometimes an engineer as well.
Yes.
What do you mean sometimes, Chris? Who else could masterfully pick out a track such as that to lay down?
It's a producer, not an engineer.
What's
I'm still pressing buttons over here, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm pressing buttons.
Pressing my buttons, all right.
The wrong ones.
Yeah.
What track was that?
That was Holiday Road. That's a theme from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah, come on now.
And if you want some significance.
I've never seen National Lampoon.
Yeah, and you honestly also.
I've seen it like on TV, then I quickly flick.
Yeah, and you honestly also tell me how much you hate this song. But
yeah,
Walt,
it's terrible.
Let me lay it down for you. We've been MIA for 3 weeks because you've been on a vacation.
Vacation.
I had my birthday almost, I think it was exactly 2 weeks ago, I was on vacation.
I was on vacation.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's so many vacations. It's so relevant, Walter.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
And see, there you were heckling me.
I would have went with Max Webster. Million vacations is what you got in mind.
That's why you're not the engineer.
That's
why you don't do things.
It's terrible. Anyways,
you press different kinds of buttons, Walt.
Creak, creak.
You know what's not terrible?
What?
This show being recorded
I disagree.
On CFMU McMaster Radio. You know what? We are here to talk about comic books and other fun pop culture type things occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
We should get right to it.
Let's get right to it, Chris.
Get right to it. Shecky, we're going to start talking about new this week for new products that are coming out on the local comic book shelves at your local comic book store.
New products on the comic book shelves.
Yes.
Like deodorant?
Why don't you just go ahead and read the sponsor?
All right. New this week brought to you by Vacation Season. If you need a break, why not just lock yourself in your room with some comics instead? It can only be healthy.
It's a great idea.
Great idea.
You know what? Last time I locked myself in my room with some comics, it was a long time ago.
Four out of five psychiatrists
they don't
recommend
make those
it, Chris.
Comics anymore.
No, they really don't. You got to get them in Uzbekistan now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. First up on the hit parade, we got Guardians of the Galaxy number 17. Now, I got to talk about this because, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out this Friday. And I just, you know, had to talk about that a little bit. Talking about, you know, Peter Quill and, of course, Groot and Rocket Raccoon. Brian Michael Bendis is the current writer on Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's doing a great job. Nick Bradshaw and Michael Oeming are also filling in on penciling, you know, and doing the artwork. I love the art. I love the art. The art is fantastic. I like the story. I like everything about this book. And, you know, I can't wait for the movie to come out. Of course, there is there's some tie-ins here. I don't want to talk about it too much because, wow, there's a tie-in in this book that you will shock and amaze you.
Shock and amaze you.
It's a character.
When I beat Joe Frazier.
Character
going to shock and amaze you.
A character that originally appeared in an Image comic, hint, hint, that is now in a Marvel comic that is related to Thor in some way. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
And she is in this book.
Hulk.
No.
Okay.
That is not She-Hulk.
Right.
It is a much more angelic figure, if you know what I mean.
Natalie Portman.
Yes.
I see.
Yes?
I don't know who that is, but that's a nice figure.
Yeah, I'm sure. No. Okay, for those of you in the listening audience here, I'm showing the book to Walt, and he has no idea what I'm talking about right now. So anyway,
but he is pretty gaga over it, though.
He is. It's a good-looking book.
Hey, listen, it's a good-looking book. What it is, this is what it is. It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 17, and it's available at your local comic book shop today.
And you know what? The whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing for this summer, I mean, really, you're looking at Spider-Man 2, which we went over, and the whole X-Men show and everything.
Yeah.
Really, Guardians is all that Marvel actually has coming out for their own, right? Because, you know, Spider-Man, X-Men, they're licensed properties.
Yep.
So really, that's like the Guardian, like that's the Avengers of this summer for Marvel, really. Like that's their group, that's their whole domain thing.
Well,
so
next summer it is Avengers and Ant-Man.
But what I'm saying is, so they're putting their entire wad into this film this
blowing
summer.
The whole wad.
Have to blow the whole wad.
So it must be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listen.
What do you got?
Next up in the hit parade, we got Batman Adventures number one. Now, here's the thing about this book.
Who
is? I got some problems with this book, and I'll tell you why in a second. Batman Adventures was initially a book that came out in the 1990s. You know, it was based on the cartoon that came out of the same name.
Right, the series, like the animated series.
Yeah. And so this book is clearly a reprint of... first of all, it's a 100-page spectacular. It's got lots of stories in it. It's a big book. However, it's a reprint of the other books that came out before it, but it's not saying that it's a reprint.
So
if you look at the quality of some of the artwork here, it's like... they just tried to, like, put it up against a laser photocopier and tried to, like...
So is it like a graphic novel, then?
It's like a small graphic novel, but the quality is crappy.
It's a smidge of a novel.
Yeah.
You see, Chris, they've got it aimed at rated E for the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care about quality.
But they should.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, when was the last time you decided that, you know, with all your stores and all your greatness, that, you know, this empire that you're creating, you know, you just decided, hey, you know what? I don't care about quality anymore. Let's hire that Chris Owen guy anyways.
That's right.
Yeah. That's quality right. goes out the window when you hire Chris Owen.
Put, true. Chris, well put, and it will catch up to DC if they keep putting up Kife.
Exactly.
But, hey, kids, Batman Adventures... number one.
Available at your local comic book store.
Available.
Sorry. What are they putting on their shelves?
Bookshop. We got lots, so come on by.
All right, listen. Next up on the hit parade. Now, Walt.
Yo.
You're a learned man.
Sure am.
You like to read a lot.
Do.
Do you ever read any of the Game of Thrones novels?
You kidding me.
Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't.
So
no,
there's a TV show.
I heard good things about it.
Okay, so there's a TV show called Game of Thrones.
I heard about
based
it.
On the books by George R. R. Martin called.
I heard of him.
The Songs of Fire and Ice, right?
Yeah, he's Dean's nephew.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, is he a crooner too?
They're both crooners. They both love singing.
No, this guy's a bard. His uncle was a crooner.
Anyways, Avatar, which, you know, Avatar is a funny comic book company. They pick up licenses that nobody else seems to get. George R. R. Martin's has a book called, or perhaps a short story called, In the House of the Worm.
Yo, In the House.
in the House of
in the
Worm.
House.
So anyways, it appears that this has been adapted into a comic book form by John Joseph Miller, and illustrated by Ivan Rodriguez.
I
can never say that word.
Ivan Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And just like Game of Thrones, there's lots of violence, nudity, sex, all kinds of wonderful things.
Oh, yeah.
If that's what you're into.
What's it rated, Chris?
A for awesome.
What about right. E for yeah. everyone? Because everyone should be watching
Definitely not E for everyone.
All right, listen. This is In the House of the Rising Sun. No. That's wrong. In the House of the Worm, George R. R. Martin, what number? Number one from Avatar, available at fine local comic book shops.
All right, now
today.
Listen. Now, my next today. One. Less, second to last.
Second to last.
How many books have you done already, Chris?
Don't worry your pretty little head over these things. Listen, Image, you know, you and I talked about this before, Walt, how
yes,
Image is pushing the boundaries of new ideas in the comic book field. Having said that, we've talked about Walking Dead. A zombie comic book has never been successful before. Not this successful. We've talked about Saga. New
sex
ideas.
Criminals,
sex
East
criminals.
West, you name it.
Yeah. Yep. So
Chew.
There's a new one. Chew. Chew's a great book.
Chew.
There's a new one that's coming out today, and I don't know what to tell you about it. It looks amazing. It's called Low.
Yo, how low can you go?
Death Row. What a brother no.
What a brother no.
Anyways, this one's called Low, and it's by Rick Remender, who's he's a Marvel guy, written Captain America, all kinds of like Fantastic Four, that kind of stuff. And it's drawn by a guy named Greg Tocchini. And it's a science fiction book, but man, it looks amazeballs. Like, it looks amazing. Yes.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Amazeballs?
Yes.
That's the new vernacular.
That's the new vernacular. You know, you just need to...
New vernacular, amazeballs. You two, like,
with it,
rhyming with Public Enemy over here.
Chuck D is his name.
I'm 28, and I am your youth by, like, 80 years,
maybe,
both of you.
Maybe you should start to get on the trolley, will you?
Does someone outside of my knowledge encourage both of you to be more trendy and youthful? I don't understand what's going on
here. When you're on the dance floor with us, there is no parking, baby.
You're either on the floor
no
or you're not.
On
all right.
The dance floor.
Okay.
All right. Listen, low number one.
Looks amazing.
Looks great.
Now, before we go on to. We got one more.
Can I say my plug?
No, because hold on. We're not done with it yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As you and I talked about before, for speculators out there. Right? Okay, now you remember what I wanted to talk about.
Sorry, you told me earlier and I forgot.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. That's right. Okay. I'm sure the alcohol is just setting in now.
What alcohol?
I know. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Listen.
I had way too many of those.
The rubbing alcohol.
Macaroons you brought.
From the wounds. Yeah.
Low is one of those books that, for speculators out there, you may want to think about buying a couple extra copies, getting them graded, because...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying go ahead and bet the farm on it, but it looks like a good book, and looks like it's a book that might do well.
So you're saying go ahead and bet the farm on it.
I'm not. No, I'm not saying that at all. Because
Chris Owen says buy 100 copies. Put them in your basement.
You'll be able to retire on them.
How many copies would a Owen buy?
Oh, at least 1,000 or two.
All right, listen. Low number one from Image is available at your local comic book shop today. Please have a look at that and all the other stuff.
Okay, listen. Last thing that we got to talk about. You and I were not here last week.
No.
Shecky wasn't here either, but sorry, I forgot about you there.
Now you remembered about me. That's all that matters, okay. Chris.
I'll never forget you.
Again?
So last week, was it last week that this book came out?
Yeah, last Wednesday.
Last week, the Bible of the comic book industry.
Bible of the comic book industry.
The Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a collector of any kind, you really should be buying this once a year, if not once every other year.
Once a year? No, once every other year.
You know,
once a year.
Some people can't afford it. It's an expensive book. It's $30.
$30. Hey,
$30 once a year.
Hey, skip the Starbucks.
Okay, but some people, if you're a student, struggling student, you don't have the money for it, right?
Hey, who needs that physics textbook?
If you're a struggling student, it's probably because you're at the bar too much.
If I've learned anything,
but yeah, you're right, Chris. It is a book you should pick up.
It is. It really
is. There's so much. It offers so much, and it's a great reference.
Amazing reference.
It also. Hey, by the way, we're on page 160.
Oh, let me check that.
Mark
out.
And I. See, it used to be. This is how it used to be. What, all the kind of
160.
Overstreet.
Oh, yeah, they are.
All the Overstreet advisors used to write in their reports every year.
Right.
And because I'm a Duralia, I'm under D.
Right.
So I used to be earlier.
How come?
It's now under Sims.
Oh,
Mark.
Well,
because I think they've read them and realized Mark writes most of the stuff and my part is incoherent. So they go, yeah, well, let's give this. Let's give Mark the show here.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, our spiel is on 160, but the good part about that part of the book is all the industry people weigh in on the year past.
Right.
It's actually, if you're into the hobby and if you're into comic books in general and if you're into kind of serious investing or collecting, you owe it to yourself to fight through and read all the advisor reports.
Okay, so you know what?
Because you're going to gain some insights on what people are experiencing
Absolutely.
In their part of the country and so on.
Now, you don't have to be a hardcore collector to buy this book.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. when I was a kid and I was a little nerd, you know, looking around at comics, I used to buy them because I used to like to just browse through it, figure out what was worth what, and look at all the different ads and all that. And you know what? Here we go. So your article here, we have talking about Deadpool's second appearance in X-Force number 2.
Mm.
And I love the fact that this actually is part of the article because I never really would have realized that it's that big of a deal to have Deadpool's second appearance. But
right.
You know what? Great article about that. And here it is.
Okay, excellent. And
oh, look at that. Hold on. Wait.
Oh, hold on.
247.
247.
Page 247.
Flipping to 247.
You got to go to, all of a sudden, now you got Big B Comics' ad.
But never mind that. On the bottom of the page, it's Comic Book Daily's ad.
Which is where we're broadcasting.
Which is where we're broadcasting. That's the important thing. Page 208, it covers the Silver Age values of comics. Of course, Amazing Fantasy 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man, is the most valuable Silver Age comic. Almost double the value of the closest competitor, which is Hulk number one.
Okay, so hold on. So let's just go back. Beep, 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 beep. So let's go back to Action Comics number one on the on page 206, for those of you who are following along with the home version.
Uh-huh. the home version.
Action Comics number one, $2.1 million for a near mint copy.
Hey, listen. I have the number two book on there is Detective 27, the first appearance of the Batman. Of course, Action number one is the first appearance of the Superman.
Yep.
And that there is a $450,000 difference in value.
It's crazy.
Now, I am here to say to all our listeners that I predict 5 years from now, and I'll be totally wrong, of course.
Yeah.
But Detective 27 should eclipse Action 1.
I agree.
Action 1 is a what do you call that? A symbolic book, right? Detective 27 is the introduction of the superhero of superheroes, the god of gods, Batman. Batman is the most important superhero ever.
Absolutely, that anybody came up with,
right? So his first appearance should be the marker for value.
It should be. I agree.
In my opinion. Action 1 is introduced the superhero concept, so it has that weight to it in terms of what it did and what it means.
Yep.
And that's where the value comes from. But I don't know. I just think in the long term, I think the character will trump historical.
Yep.
I don't know. Yep. That's my opinion.
You know what? You know what's interesting to me, anyways? Because so I'm a old comic book guy, but from from like the 80s and 90s, right?
That's old, Chris.
So, but here's it's interesting. So on top 10 Copper Age comics.
Copper Age, which are old books right now, by the way.
Which are considered old because it came out
30 years ago.
30 years ago in the
80s. Yeah.
But I remember buying and selling Gobbledygook number one, which probably no one knows.
The heck
is
Gobbledygook?
Right?
It's a Ninja Turtles book, right?
It's a Ninja Turtles book, but it's extremely rare. Mm-hmm. And then you got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one is number two in the rankings, worth $3,500.
I know, it's insane.
It's crazy.
It's insane. Anyways, but when you look at collecting, it's a bell curve. Collecting is about bell curve, especially pop culture collecting.
Yeah.
It's a continually moving bell curve. I'm going to say, I don't know, 10 years as the minimum amount.
Right.
And perhaps 40 years is the maximum amount. Maybe 50. I don't know. I'll say 40. And what I mean by that is if you're a 12-year-old or a 9-year-old or 11-year-old and you're into the Ninja Turtles, well, maybe by 20, 21, 22, you're going to seek nostalgia when you, you know, that stuff you loved as a kid.
Even beyond, in the late 20s. I'm 28 now.
Yeah.
And my generation was, we grew up in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, loving Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Uh-huh. And we cannot wait for the film to come out now in a couple weeks. And just like that is the generation right now who they're preying upon. You know,
exactly.
And that's why those are the guys who are paying tons of money for this.
No, the 30 years old is the heart of it. 30 to 40 is the heart of it, right?
Right.
But it starts, you know, maybe in your early 20s into your mid 50s. I would say that's the heart of the collecting because those are the people seeking nostalgia.
I agree. Right? I agree. You know what?
Hey, listen, I got to add one more thing about the guide.
Okay.
Everybody
we're starting
has
to people.
Everybody has to read
starting
go on to page 1160.
1160.
Which is 1160.
Yep.
And read Ivan Kochmarek's
you know what? This is a
Canadian comic book essay.
This is a great, you know what? Okay, for many reasons this is a great edition of the comic book price guide. But I love the article that Ivan has written about Canadian comics.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great, great long article all about the origins of Canadian comics and Nelvana and mm-hmm. all that kind of
Johnny
stuff.
Johnny Canuck, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome stuff. But you know what? Even if you don't want to read about that, there's a great article about. It seems like they decided to take it like a birthday thing. They got mm-hmm. Wolverine at 40, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at 30, She at 20s. All these different characters, all kind of like in their prime at celebrating a certain birthday.
Listen, it's a great book, Overstreet Price Guide, 44th edition. It's something that you should pick up.
Yeah,
and it's literally months of enjoyment.
It really is. Yeah. All right.
And you know what? I know we're done with this, and I know we're going to break. We're gonna have a quick musical interlude because we need that after such brain, you know, gorging information like that. But you know what, Walt? You said something. You said that Batman, you said Detective 27 will eventually surpass Action 1.
My opinion only.
No, that's absolutely feasible. Mm-hmm. I think it will as well. But they're how many years apart? One year apart?
11 months.
Sorry, 1 year apart. I should be a better linguist.
Yeah, 11 months.
Okay, so 11 months apart. However, Amazing Fantasy 15 comes out the same year, 1940, let's say. Of those three, what do you think deserves?
Right, I understand. You're saying, okay, put
because you started just talking about Batman is mm-hmm. the quintessential. Batman is
right.
the all.
I understand. Yeah.
You know what? My opinion. I'm just going to state my opinion. Spider-Man pleases such a young generation, of age range of crowd.
I
don't think he can ever be topped for how many fans he ever has at any one given point in time.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
I think had he come out in 1940, it would have been a $5 million book.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to argue with you there, but...
I'm asking for your opinion, though. Do you think Batman would hold up as well for a vintage classic star as Spider-Man if they came out in the same year?
I think my honest opinion is they skew a little different in demographic. I think Batman mm-hmm. skews a little older, Spider-Man skews a little
and
younger.
And the difference with that is there are on this world there are always more younger people than there are older.
Yeah, but Marteau.
Hey.
Shecky.
Hey.
The old man has the money.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
All right.
We really
got
to get to a musical interlude here. Let's see what you got cooking for us there, Shexter.
Always got something cooking. How about some KPR for you?
All right, let's hear it.
Stuff, Chris. Sweet,
all right.
Sweet stuff.
Listen, that was, of course, the great Johnny Laxton on the saxophone there for Krantz music.
Hey, let's just say that I said KPM the whole time.
Hey.
Sure. Hey.
Let's keep going here. Listen.
sorry, I said KPR.
We have a sponsor for Industry News, which we're about to enter into.
Absolutely, we do. Industry News brought to you by the San Fran Comic Con, where they show real cosplayers wear tie-dye and roller skates.
Interesting.
Hey, listen, right. This show, Pretty Well, Chris, is about pretty well exclusively dedicated to...
A recap.
Press release is a recap of San Diego Comic-Con, also known as Comic-Con, also known as the most important calendar weekend of Canadian... of comic culture around the world.
Yes, absolutely. Right. You know what? You know what's funny is that there are a lot of people that now know about Comic-Con that never knew before because of things like Big Bang Theory and all that kind of stuff. So it's becoming very popular. Anyways, you know what? Let's start off. Sam Raimi, who is the director of the Evil Dead TV show, and he did actually did the first three Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He's now revealing he's writing an Evil Dead TV show with Bruce Campbell, Robert Tappert, and Ivan Raimi, who's his brother. Last year's Evil Dead remake was doing fairly well, and of course the Army of Darkness comic is celebrating its 10th anniversary at Dynamite. So, you know, we got all kinds of Evil Dead stuff going on. Evil Dead the musical is still going around strong. Lots of Evil Dead stuff.
So are these guys going, hey, Walking Dead is making a ton of money.
Exactly, exactly.
Is that what they're doing?
Yep.
They're going, hey, let's do an Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Now, I know Shecky Feldstein, our illustrious producer, produced Night of the Living Dead live. What I want to ask him is, why the hell aren't you at San Diego Comic-Con?
That's a great point.
Announcing Night of the Living Dead.
The TV show.
Which I think is a bigger property than Evil Dead.
Well, it should
I don't know.
Be.
Why aren't you at San Diego Comic-Con announcing some sort of
TV show?
Yeah.
Because these guys.
Why aren't you? Sam Raimi, why are we looking at you?
Why are you here?
Yeah. Why are you looking at me? Because I'm in front of you. That's why you're looking at me.
Terrible.
Sam Raimi and the whole Evil Dead franchise was, you know, mid to late 80s. Like you guys were saying, all the people who grew up and then want to relive that nostalgia, you know, they're in the 30s now. It's all relevant. 1968, the original
Night of the Living Dead Live is too old to resurrect.
No, no, not Night of the Living Dead Live, but you can't
Night of the Living Dead.
How do you make a TV show of something that's live, which is a theater show? Anyway.
Jackie, you know what I meant?
Yes, but that's from the 68, right? From the 60s.
So you're done.
So I'm just saying, you know what? Evil Dead is much more relevant. They had a trilogy of everything. It just... I understand what it is. And Sam Raimi's still actively directing and writing. So
All right.
You know
maybe
what?
He has a better agent. I don't know.
So hold on. Let me do this for Shecky Feldstein.
Yeah.
Right.
And what would that be?
That would be the boat sailing away. Because Shecky has missed the boat.
Yeah.
All right.
But we love you anyway.
Love you anyway, yeah. Shex. Listen, let's move on. Let's talk about, hey, Chris, you
Guardians
have to talk,
of the Galaxy,
yeah, talk
you know
about
what?
This for me.
God, you know what? I cannot wait for this movie to come out. I am so excited about it. Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out this August the 1st, this Friday, by James Gunn. And
so James Gunn in I guess, Hall H, because I'm reading Hall H the whole time.
Yeah,
right?
Hall H is
That's
the big one.
That's the big hall.
Yeah, it's the
right?
big one, yeah.
So the packed audience for the... James Gunn
I
doing
I was
a
talking
panel.
About this.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. No,
no.
You're doing
no,
a great
no.
job.
Go ahead.
No. Indubitably. I
swear. Yeah. So anyway, I guess what did they do? Did they premiere another video?
They announced
too late for that. I guess. But
they did announce a Guardians of the Galaxy animated series, and that James Gunn would be back to write and direct a second Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which will appear on July the 28th, 2017.
See, that's important.
It is.
In the sense that Marvel has committed to Guardians 2 before the opening weekend
of
Guardians 1.
It really is. I just want to be devil's advocate here, you know, just for a second, right? I mean, no one knows
You're
how
wrong.
Well... Thanks, Chris. No one knows how well Guardians of the Galaxy is actually going to do, right? All these movies that we see sequels for, like the Spider-Man movies that already have like the 3 and the 4, and then the Sinister Six movie, which has come into place now, that's bumped the Spider-Man 3 movie.
Uh-huh.
And they already came out, and it's like right around the same time as the release date of that predecessing movie.
Yep.
They announced these dates. What if it actually tanked, like ever? What would these major studio corporations do?
Well, I don't know.
I think here's the thing. So I think that they've done enough marketing research and all that to
understand you're right,
it's not going to tank.
There's a Rotten Tomatoes, which is a site, I guess, that does the pre-movie
They're like a you and me sort of buddy-buddy rating of movie. Like, in other words, it's not like Roger Ebert rating movies or something like that.
Well, this has got 100% positive rating already from this Rotten Tomatoes thing. So they're... They're expecting people to like it.
Right.
But whether it'll latch on is a different
I think it
story.
Will. I think it's – you know what? I keep on saying
hopefully
clips,
it will.
It's quirky enough that I think it's one of those weird movies.
Here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Marvel has a good thing here in the sense that it's taking a nothing property.
Yes, absolutely.
A nothing property.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has the potential to turn it into a something property.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they turn this into a something property, bazillions of dollars will come their way.
Yep.
Right? It's not like, you know, they're, I don't know.
It's not like Spider-Man.
Or Wolverine or something yeah. like that. It's just something that's like, oh, man, like, what's in the trash bin?
Yeah.
Hey, let's try this.
However, yeah. however, I have to interject here. Again, this is a summer where Marvel has nothing coming to the box office, mm-hmm. right? They could have picked any franchise property that they own that hasn't already been licensed out, so no X-Men, no Spider-Man, whatever, right?
Okay.
But they could have picked anything they owned mm-hmm. that has not been licensed out and make this the summer for that, where they get their studio to focus on making a picture about that film, and they pick this one, right? So what I'm saying is they still have tons of properties left. They may be B-rate, C-rate sort of flicks
yeah,
and stuff
but
like
they
that.
They obviously believe that this – they're not going to
That's what I'm saying, though.
It, right?
But that's what I'm saying is that they must have so much faith that this was the most viable. They could turn this the most into their galactic Marvel universe strategy.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is part of their whole phase two.
Exactly,
phase
exactly.
Anyways, let's keep on going on here. We've got lots to talk
about. That's good.
So I want to talk
about – you know what? The San Diego press releases are just so fast and furious that we have to rush through them.
Chris, I get lost in the aether.
I
have to remind everybody that you're listening on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com.
All right, listen. You know
getthepointradio.com.
Are you done yet?
Yes.
Okay, finally.
Chris, calm down a little bit.
I want to talk about San Diego some more. However, I have a good friend that lives in San Diego, and he went to the con.
Bitterman?
This is Glenn Kay.
He found
Kay.
Another friend. Friend Owen. Friend Owen.
So Glenn Kay is a...
Danny's nephew. You mentioned him before.
What?
Danny's nephew.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So he's a writer. He does all kinds of things. He did a book on zombies, a book on horror movies. Anyways, listen, he went to the show, and he said that he really... This show should have been called the Canceled Con.
The Canceled Con.
Because, you know, he went to this convention and expected to go to all these different panels. People weren't showing up. Things weren't happening. There was supposed to be a Goonies.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well,
what?
I know. See, I know you're a fan of the Goonies.
I grew up. My birth date was 1986, Chris. Coincidentally, 1986 was also the birth of the Goonies.
Okay, so you know? The Goonies... they're planning a Goonies 2. So
all the original stars?
All the cast from the original Goonies.
Corey Feldman?
Were supposed to go to this convention.
Really?
And didn't show up. Never got a dinner.
Oh.
You know, also, they were going to, at this convention, they're going to debut a Constantine TV show.
Right.
Right? For John Constantine from DC. Again, didn't show up. Never got a dinner. An iZombie TV show. Didn't show up. Never got a dinner.
The hell?
Pixels, which is going to star what's his name?
Pixels.
Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler. So basically, Pixels is going to be about a movie where basically the old video game movie or video games like Pac-Man and Space Invaders come down to try to destroy the Earth. Again, that didn't show up.
I don't get how that will work, but Adam Sandler might make that work.
Yeah, it's been comedy, obviously.
All right.
Jurassic World, the sequel to Jurassic Park 3.
Whoa!
That was supposed to be a big debut.
I heard that Jurassic Park like is a 4, right?
Yeah,
this is the fourth one. It's supposed to be coming out.
Didn't happen.
All these things were scheduled at Comic-Con.
And did not happen.
So, hold on.
Let's talk about that.
So, these are major studio flicks. Obviously, Jurassic Park 4.
That's huge.
You know, Adam Sandler films.
Yep.
These were all things that probably got press before going into the San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, you know, he said he went there and tried to go into these things, and they weren't there.
That's right.
So, is this like a tactic, do you think, that major studios do where they just release fake announcements or even like... You know what they say?
So they're not ready.
Hey
for
team,
the con, but they
hey
say
team, we have a month to get there with a trailer cut for this. Don't worry, because even if you don't get it cut, we've already released to the press that it's going to be there. So the news is already spreading that it's going to that
possible.
It's existing. You know what I mean?
But you know what did happen? So he also did.
So hold on, guys.
Okay, sorry. Go
hold
ahead.
On, guys.
Yeah.
next year at FanEx, what do you call this thing? Show?
FanExpo?
No, it's a show. Comic-Con. We have to do a press release.
Oh, yeah.
Should. You're going to be there.
Yeah. Comic Culture, the movie.
Comic Culture announces, and then we just don't show up.
Yeah.
But we get all kinds of press. All
right, release. So anyway, so you know what?
No, guys like us, we need to show up.
The one thing that they did that he did see or hear about was the Mad Max trailer, which was apparently went over gangbusters.
I did see that trailer. Yeah.
All right. Listen.
Mel Gibson? Is Mel Gibson in the new Mad Max?
I don't think he's in there. I don't know. Huh? Maybe.
Might be like the grandfather of the guy.
The old man.
Old guy. Hey, old man.
Hey, old man.
Hey. So. Also talking about San Diego Comic. Speaking of old man, San Diego Comic Con, Cup of Joe panel. Joe Quesada, who's the editor in chief.
Yeah, hey, you want a cup of Joe?
Hey, you want a cup of Joe?
Uh-huh.
Editor in chief of Marvel Comics. Apparently, he was there to announce the fact that Star Wars comics are returning to the Marvel pit.
See, I knew that was going to happen. So did you. I think we talked about this like 4 years ago or something like that. When Marvel bought... who'd they buy?
Disney bought Marvel.
Disney bought Marvel.
And then Lucasfilm.
You're right. Yeah. Lucasfilm. That's right. And then it's like, oh, okay. The Star Wars stuff has to be coming back to Marvel soon because it's at Dark Horse.
Yeah.
And I guess the time ran its course, and now Marvel has taken the Star Wars stuff from Dark Horse, and they've announced three new titles under the Marvel Comics umbrella.
That's right, yes.
Here's the question I have to you, Chris, because you're the big Star Wars fan.
That's me, yeah.
Let me ask all my questions first.
Okay.
Before you just
ask
blabber
away.
In.
Ask away.
Okay. I want to know a few things. Is this bad for the Star Wars fan? Dark Horse had like lower expectations than Marvel, per se. So they were probably able to stay truer to the Star Wars theme,
right?
And you know, be influenced by the Star Wars theme that was Lucasfilm,
right?
Right. Marvel, the thing I worry about Marvel, and I want to ask you, is Marvel likes to do things the Marvel way.
Right.
And even did the original Star Wars the Marvel way.
They
end up making all their characters Marvel-type characters, right?
Yeah, that's true,
And I'm wondering if, because Dark Horse has done such a great job over the last decade on...
Of doing their own thing.
Doing their own Star Wars thing. Will Marvel cuck the whole thing by making Star Wars Marvelish?
I don't think so. I think now that it's under Disney, there's going to be a heavy influence of the Disney, regime. Like, basically, you got to keep on doing things the way they've always been done because it's been successful.
Right.
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 So
they're not going to make. I'm saying.
But you know what? Here's the thing. So back in the day, like,
but Marvel's so impatient. Marvel, like, if you know, Dark Horse, they're happy with a certain amount of sales. Marvel is like, I'm going to relaunch this title. We're going to relaunch this.
Yeah,
gonna start
over.
I'm worried that they're not going to be as patient with Star Wars.
They might, not
because they're trying to make the big hits, right? They want something that go up gangbusters and then just
There's
start exploding
two
and running.
Approaches from
right,
the comic
right,
book publishing
right.
thing. To the Star Wars property.
I think
they're happy with a
I don't know if there
casual...
is, I don't know if there is, because Dark Horse had a lot of miniseries, and I think...
But that was their approach.
But I think Marvel's going to do the same thing. Like, already we have a new Star Wars book called Just Star Wars by Jason Aaron, but then you've got Star Wars Darth Vader, and then Star Wars Princess Leia. So I think those are probably going to end up being some sort of, you know, short series or miniseries of some sort. And I think the same kind of thing's going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Chris Owen is saying, Star Wars fans, don't worry.
Don't worry.
These Marvel comics will be...
They'll be here for you.
Here
don't
for
don't
you,
worry.
And they'll be good.
Walter,
they will be.
Walter, Professor Owen is saying.
Professor Owen is
saying. That's right. Yeah. Please refer to me as that.
Yeah, from now on.
All right, listen. We're going to have a quick musical interlude, and we'll be right back with more comic...
Well, it may not be quick. Don't rush me, Chris.
Just play the music.
All right.
Hey! right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place, but I'm having such a good time. I've been running, trying to keep tongue up in my mind. Just got to give myself a good talking to this time. Security.
Hey, listen. Well, right place.
Are you in the right place?
Wrong time.
All right.
Listen. That is a great segue into a little
sponsors for industry news.
Right.
Absolutely right. You are, Chris. Industry news part deux, brought to you by Evil Dead the TV show, which will be a flop and no one cares about it at all. Poop on them.
Oh.
Poop on them.
That may not have been actually paid for. That may have been ad-libbed at some point.
I believe that.
That may have been a Bitterman sponsor.
Yeah, I just want you guys to know we're not getting paid for that one, okay?
Bitterman.
All right.
I may have to pay out money for that one.
Right place, wrong time. I wanted to segue that song into some press releases I picked up through a friend of mine at Comic-Con.
What's that all about?
What friend do you have there?
I can't say the name. But basically, they're flooded with press releases.
Oh, I know. It's so true.
It's unbelievable. So Comic-Con is the right place to send your press release. But there's been so many heavyweight press releases this year that perhaps these press releases just came at the wrong time.
Or maybe they were just small flies.
Well, I'm not sure what happened, but they have not been picked up by the press. I just got a list here, and I got a list emailed saying, Hey, Walt, all these press releases, they all went to San Diego. I haven't seen any on any wires.
Okay, well, like what? Like what are these press releases?
Well, okay. Chris, if you would just hold back with the eagerness.
I'm just asking.
Okay, yeah. I got the email. The first one, Disney buys rights to Welcome Back, Kotter, movie in the works. Nobody picked it up.
Really?
I didn't read about it anywhere.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't use a song on the show anymore, does
it? Gabe Kaplan is probably just furious that nobody's talking about this.
I know. Listen, press release was left on the wire. Nobody picked
it up. Is Johnny T back in the game?
Who?
Who?
Johnny T.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Travolta?
Are you that close with John Travolta that you get to call him Johnny T?
Oh, Johnny T. I'm so sorry.
Guys, what's up with him? I thought you guys are with it.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
All right. Listen, well, keep going.
Another press release. Nobody picked this up. I can't believe this. DC Comics announces new Matlock comic.
Oh, you know, I would love to see that. Because you know what? No one loves courtroom drama comics more than me.
Yeah, exactly. And so DC had a lot of hits. That was
You know what they need? They need a new, like, Night Court
yes.
one. But it comes with the soundtrack. Every time you open the cover.
It'd be great. Or laugh track.
Yeah.
Hey, press release. Eros Comics acquires the rights to Shaft.
Oh, what is
announces it? Plans for a big, thick hardcover.
Well, as they should, really. You know, it's
not picked up.
Yeah. Is Richard Roundtree in that one?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
is it not picked up because people are too afraid to touch it?
Richard Roundtree.
The point is these are all press releases that were emailed to me that no media picked up.
I feel like neither media, you got my joke, but that's okay.
Roundtree.
That's all right.
Round tree.
No, you stop saying what you're saying.
Fantagraphics announces Abe Vigoda biographic novel.
You know what? Who doesn't want to read about fish from Barney Miller?
Another press release came across my email here. MGM Studios cancels production on Honk on Boba Fett.
I don't get it.
After consulting with local teams.
You know what? It's probably a good idea.
Hey.
But you know what? That was all about Boba Fett and his 1950s roadster honking his way through the city.
Honk on Boba Fett. Yeah. Here's a press release. I didn't tell you guys last week, but I sent a press release to Comic-Con. Nobody picked it up.
You sent one.
Yeah, I sent one. Comic Culture Radio and Seagram's close to mutually beneficial marketing deal.
You know what? I can't believe that has not been picked up on the presses.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, Eros Comics, again, announces a Nina Hartley bio titled Loose Ends.
Shouldn't it be a press release
that was not picked up? Okay.
Oh, that's
old loose ends is what it should be.
Eros Comics were like busy.
They're big. Yeah.
Nobody picked up their press releases because they had
still exist.
They had Deep South Flavors comic book cookbook by Colonel Angus.
Colonel Angus.
I love Colonel Angus.
Colonel Angus is a great character.
Doesn't get the respect it deserves,
you
know?
He had some great fried chicken, but not as good as Colonel Sanders.
And the one I wish people picked up, and I wish it would go into production, is the retro Swedish star Sika.
Yes. I heard she loved Colonel Angus, too.
She wrote...
A lot of female stars do, Chris.
She applied and tried out for to be a James Bond girl.
Oh, really? Which one?
And so they're doing a...
Done.
They're doing a graphic novel, comic book graphic novel on Sika's called Pussy Galore, The Role I Should Have Got. Anyway,
you know what?
Those are some of the press releases.
Yeah, that's never great.
You know what?
I can't believe they didn't get picked up.
Yeah. Well, they got picked up by us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Okay.
All right. You know what? Right.
That went well, that segment, I thought.
Walt.
Really well.
This vault of information. I feel like.
Slosson cutoff. Get out of your car. Cut off your Slosson.
Ouch.
And drive east. All right. Listen, hey, let's talk about...
we're ignoring you. Anyways.
Let's talk about the Eisner Award winners.
Hold on.
No?
Can we... Before we talk about that, I want to talk quickly about Joaquin Phoenix being the possibility of... Joaquin Phoenix. Possibly being... Doctor Strange.
Oh, get out. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Okay.
That was a press release that was picked up.
So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Oscar-nominated actor Joaquin Phoenix, who was in Gladiator, Walk the Line, The Master, is in negotiations to play the role of Doctor Strange in the same titled movie.
Right.
It appears that in the Doctor Strange movie... Kevin Feige wants to start filming next spring. It's a high priority. Apparently, they tapped Scott Derrickson, who directed Sinister and The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Come on, Chris. Spit it out.
To direct Doctor Strange. And, so it looks like it might be a good thing.
Oh, nice.
Can you not see him playing that?
No.
Oh,
I can't.
Come on.
Joaquin?
First of all, I don't even know who he is.
Yeah. What's his name again,
Walt? I thought it was Jacqueline Phoenix. I thought it was a girl.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know what?
Okay,
first of all, you're wrong.
I know that. Okay.
Have you not seen
There are better Doctor Strangers.
Like who?
Alex Trebek.
Look, just
because... Other than that, do you even know who Joaquin Phoenix is? No, so how do you know this better? You don't even know what he looks like.
Alex Trebek would have been perfect.
Okay, hold on.
Hey, Tom Selleck.
I knew you were going to say that.
Hey, hold on. Victor Newman.
Yeah, you're just picking people with mustaches.
You can't beat Tom Selleck's mustache. If you do, I'll dare you. Try it.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
Victor Newman as Dr. Strange.
Hey, hold on. So We got Victor and Tom Selleck. Who we got next?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler.
Whoa.
No,
guys,
that's raw.
Yeah,
Adolf, his mustache wasn't wide
enough. Yeah, it was too thin. It was too thin.
From the Boston Red Sox, Mattingly?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying that Victor Newman would have been a good...
But he was already. You know, I think that these actors, they can only be in one science fiction movie. And Victor Newman was already in one of the Planet of the Apes movies. You can't do more than
one. What are you talking about one? Look at Ryan Reynolds. He's been in, like, what, four different comic
book
movies?
I don't want to.
He's been in, like, four different. You love looking at him. You have a poster of him on your wall. Don't try and lie to me, Chris. You've pulled me up to your bedroom before. I've seen it at least three times.
You too?
Yeah.
Oh, Shecky,
you
poor thing.
That's, you know what? I don't want to make fun, but you know what? You guys can't make fun of my Ryan Reynolds, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And my posters. Mm-hmm. Listen, what else you got? Let's just move on.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah,
so
let us.
So anyway, I'm picking Victor Newman for Doctor Strange.
Is it?
And Jacqueline Phoenix will have to wait for the next movie.
All right. Well, I still think he's going to do well.
Okay. Listen, so at the Comic-Con every year, they announce awards.
Awards.
Yeah, you know, like the Oscars for comic books. So the Eisner Awards, named after Will Eisner, who was
great
a pioneer of comic
books. But, Walt, hold on. Just so I can grasp this, because I know that we do the Schuster Awards in Canada here and everything.
That's the Canadian version, yes.
But so it's kind of like the Junos compared to the actual Oscar. Like, these are the biggest awards for comic books in the world.
Yes.
In the entire world.
Yes.
These are the biggest.
Of course.
And it's got like the unanimous.
Hold on. Wait. There are awards that are also done in the Paris, France.
Oh, that thing?
I'm just saying.
It doesn't
that's
count.
A big show.
But I'm just trying to ask, which is the most heavyweight award show in the world?
I think the Eisner's
it's probably
for
this, right?
North American type comic.
Okay.
I
just want to give a little bit of gravity to these awards.
So, Comic Culture, the radio show that's on 93.3 CFMU, we want to highlight the fact that Saga by Brian K. Vaughan won the best series.
Yes.
So if you're at your local comic book shop, check out the series Saga. This is this year's winner of the best series
in
comics.
Novel because
no,
it's gonna...
in comics.
No, but
continuing
I'm
series.
Saying for people who
oh,
want
okay,
to
check it out.
Check
it out
yeah.
I'm sorry. Best new series, Sex Criminals.
Yep.
By Matt Fraction and our Canadian boy Chip Zdarsky.
Yep.
By the way, both of those best new series and best continuing series are continuing the theme that Chris and I talked about earlier. They're both Image comics.
They are, yes.
I want to talk about the best kids publication for ages 8 to 12, Adventures of Superhero Girl by our fave, Faith Heron Hicks.
Yeah, you know what?
Great
this,
Canadian
this
gal.
Is...
Lived in Hamilton, Ontario for a while.
Yeah.
And she's young. She's like she's you know my age. You know,
that's young.
What,
I think
14?
She might still be single. I don't. Who do
Faith,
I write to find out if she's still single? How do I do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Craigslist.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I just want to talk very quickly. So, Adventures of Superhero Girl. I think it's great that Faith Erin Hicks won
mm-hmm.
this. You know, she did The War at Ellesmere before.
Yeah, it was a great book.
Great book. And
we had her at our shop
yeah.
here about five
no,
years
no,
ago.
No,
she was awesome.
As lightly as I passed it off, I completely agree. 2 years ago, I interviewed her for Cable 14 while I was doing the whole Fan Expo thing. Very professional, very young mind, but so professional for her age. Like she
great
takes
talent.
It so seriously. She just draws for a living. She loves what she does.
Yep.
Faith, Comic Culture congratulates you.
Yes.
I want to talk about best comics related periodical / journalism was won by Comic Book Resources. I got a couple beefs with that.
Yeah, really?
Now, first of all, I don't know, but I believe, I'm one to believe, and I don't know, so don't sue me on this, but I think Comic Book Resources is tied to Comic-Con in some way.
I have no idea.
I think they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't,
so that would be wrong for them to win it,
yeah,
is
yeah.
my point.
It would only be wrong if there's someone on the panel that's from them. In other words, if it's like a third-party panel, then it's not wrong for them to win it.
You may be right.
You know?
You may be right. The second thing, the most wrong part is, I personally feel comic culture should have won.
We should have won that for sure.
We should have won that hands down.
Yeah. Yeah.
With cutting edge journalism.
No, you know what? You're going to say no about something. We should have won.
Yeah.
Done. Hands period. Down. Hands down.
The cutting edge journalism that Chris and I probe.
Cutting edge.
Into.
We.
On a weekly basis.
Spend hours.
Hours.
Looking for information for our show.
That's right.
You know what?
Chris, when he's lined up.
No, guys, don't worry. I heard that we actually got like an honorary award from the show, actually.
What's that?
Apparently, Comic Culture, the radio show, actually won Best Small Fry Comic Radio Small Time Show Award.
That's the second year in a row, I think.
I think it is. So you know what? I think we should be celebrating right now.
Hey,
we
won it. Cheers, yeah. cheers.
Listen, one last bit of comic book news here before we go. We're running out of time here, unfortunately. We do have to talk about, we talked a lot about San Diego, and actress Gal Gadot, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but she's going to be the new Wonder Woman in the Batman versus Superman movie, and apparently she decided to show up to the San Diego Comic Con and like with Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and just decided to chill out for a little bit.
Oh, so she was part of the panel for the Superman versus Batman.
Yeah,
and,
well, she
they introduced her. They introduced her at San Diego Comic Con as Wonder Woman.
Right.
So, Chris, because I don't know much.
I don't.
So I have to lean on you.
I believe it.
I love you, and that may be all I need to know.
Who's that?
That's Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville. Okay. Yeah, that was my first guess.
Yeah.
So, with the Wonder Woman, I personally would have went with, because you got, who do you have as Batman there? What's the guy's
Ben
name?
Affleck.
Ben Affleck. And Superman is who?
Henry Cavill.
Okay. So I would have went with a named star actress.
Right.
Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Law.
No.
No.
No? Why not?
No. Somebody like a Megan Fox or what's that?
Megan.
Girl or
who?
Knightley.
Keira
Knightley.
Yeah.
I don't know if those two are the ones. Like a Catherine Zeta-Jones.
You know what?
Type,
honestly.
Maybe a little bit.
I will be honest with you right now. Megan Fox would do a bang up job as Wonder Woman.
You just want to bang up job her.
Listen.
Anyways.
You know what?
The point is this.
That aside.
I think Wonder Woman needed to be a known actress because star power in Hollywood is what it's all about.
Right.
I think did none of the big actresses want to play Wonder Woman?
I think here's what I think they're doing, and I could be wrong about this. When they cast what's his name is Wolverine. He was a nobody, right?
Huge Jackman.
Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
I think they're looking for another nobody to play.
Another Huge Jackman.
Right. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Wonder Woman isn't the property that Wolverine was. And
Yeah. I mean, it's a property that's been around
then again,
for a long time.
I will say that just like Jennifer Lawrence has become a breakout young, chubby, bubbly star in the whole Wolverine Origins...
I don't see her as chubby, but anyways, go on, yes.
Well, in First Class and everything.
Not really, but go on.
No, she was. Anyway, she said in press releases about her curves and everything. Anyway, I find that someone can do like the whole sex appeal thing as like a young female star, but I don't think this is it. This isn't it for her.
Well, that's
you know.
The thing. My point is this, okay? If you're going to get a no-name Wonder Woman... You have to. I gotta try to tread on this lightly and softly and from the side,
okay,
as opposed to
all
from
three
the back.
Things, yes,
right. But if you went with a no name, I think you have to go with TNA.
But
if you went with a named actress, I think
I don't
you
know
could,
if you do. I think they're trying to go away from that. I think they're trying to make
no,
more
no, no.
Character.
You absolutely need to.
I think if she's a no-name actress, she's got to look hot and good.
Yeah,
she's got to push up the breath.
Get,
and that's what I don't want in our Wonder Woman. I want our Wonder Woman to be a Wonder Woman, a goddess, a true superhero.
But she's an Amazon. She's not a goddess in the character.
Okay, but my point is this. We want to make Wonder Woman a viable character, not eye candy.
Yes, right. I agree.
So if you're going for some young, kind of voluptuous, hot actress,
but maybe she's a good actress.
Okay, but maybe she is, maybe she isn't. But the public won't. How can I say this? Ben Affleck. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. You know, he's a established actor, so he's going to be Batman. So you're not just getting some sort of young buff guy,
right,
is what
right,
I'm saying.
Right.
So I'm saying they should have done that with the actors. Is right, what
well,
I'm saying.
Good idea. Anyways, we unfortunately we do got to go.
Comic Culture, produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer. Chris Owen.
Chris Owen, it's good.
Is also involved. And, check us out at
glad to know I'm involved.
comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and I don't know what else.
Please go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a great day.